You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
A distraught mother says, "Who snatched my girl, just five, from the playground? Where is Dulce?" Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
5-year-old Dulce Maria Alvarez mysteriously vanishes from a playground in Bridgeton, New Jersey, while mommy is only yards away. Dulce's family pleads with the public to help.
Joining us tonight is Dulce's mother begging for help. How does a little girl get snatched from the playground, basically under mommy's nose? This is not the first time a child has been snatched from a playground. Can witnesses be believed? Where is Dulce? Everyone, I want to give you right off the top a tip line. A toll-free tip line in the search for Dulce, 1-800-225-5324. There is a $52,000 reward for information leading to the discovery of what happened to this 5-year-old beautiful little girl. Repeat, 800-225-5324. Joining me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know regarding Dulce's disappearance, including Dulce's mother. But first, I want to go to a special guest joining us who has been on the case since the beginning. Many people say the story, but this is not a story. This is a real family suffering real pain without their daughter. To all of you moms and dads, grandparents out there, a 5-year-old little girl snatched from a public playground. Straight out to Claudia Vargas, investigative reporter, NBC 10 Philly, who is the star of a documentary, Somebody Knows Something, The Disappearance of Dulce. And it's streaming on Peacock. Claudia, thank you for being with us. Tell me what you understand happened the day that Dulce goes missing.
Right. Well, Dulce had just gotten out of school that day, and her little brother were asking mom, you know, they wanted to go to the playground like any little kid. And so that afternoon, they headed off to their local playground. Mom was sitting in the car, and they went with, technically it's Dulce's aunt. It's Noema, who's the mom, her little sister, who is actually closer in age to Dulce. So Camila, who is Dulce's aunt, was doing her homework in the car. Mom was sitting there as well, playing a lottery scratch off while the kids were kind of in her line of view. But, you know, the playground is a little further out. They're playing. All of a sudden, mom looks up, doesn't see them. So she goes to check on them and finds Dulce's little brother, 3-year-old Manuel, crying. And Dulce's nowhere to be found. So immediately, mom starts looking around. She's thinking Dulce's playing hide and seek. After about 40 minutes, realizes, I can't find my daughter. So that's when she places the 911 call.
Guys, joining me, in addition to Claudia Vargas, is Dulce's mother, Dulce Maria, Noema Alvarez. Noema, thank you for being with us. This is Dulce's mother. Noema, so many times since Dulce went missing, you have been attacked. You have been attacked because you were sitting in the car helping with homework. And you know what? I've done it myself. I, who have literally written a book, including child safety at playgrounds, I had to bring one of my twins back to the car. She wanted bottled water then that was in the cooler. My daughter was red in the face and flushed, so we go back to the car. It was about, 30, 40 yards from my son. I could see him. I could see him going up the slide and coming down. And I opened up the trunk of the car. I couldn't see him at that time. I got out the water. I gave it to my daughter. I shut the trunk. I got something else out of the car, and we walked back to where my son was. I've done it more than once because I believed I could see him. You were not that far away from Dulce. Your attention, true, was diverted. but you were not that far away from Dulce. You could see her and her little brother, Manny. Noema, tell me what happened the day your five-year-old daughter vanished.
It was a Monday, September 16th. I remember that I wasn't working at that time. My mom wasn't working. Either she had her day off, and the kids were getting ready to go to school, so I went to go get coffee and donuts at Dunkin' Donuts, and while Dulce was getting ready, she already knew that I was going to get donuts. And I went, and I was coming back, and I was about to run over someone, and I was getting delayed. So as soon as I got home, Dulce was already on the bus, and my mom had told me that she was crying because she didn't want to get on the bus. And my mom told her she has to go in the bus. She has to go to school. And my mom said that she returned back. Before she went inside the bus, she came and went and hugged my mom, and then she left. After that, we went to Manuel's appointment, and we had went out to eat. After that, we had came home. It was already time for the kids to come home. So I had went to Dulce's bus stop for Dulce and Camila get off. And I went and got them off. We got home, and Dulce tells me they wanted to go play. And I told them, okay, but it was hot that day. And then I just didn't want her to go no more, and I told her, we're not going to go no more. And then I still remember that she started crying. She started jumping up and down. Then she said, I want to go. She said, I want to go to the park. You say we were going, and now you're saying not, no. And as I felt bad because I told her that we were going to go, but then I was telling her that we weren't going to go no more. But then at the end, we did went. And we were going to the park, and like, it was hot. I asked them if they wanted an ice cream, and they said yes. We stopped an ice cream shop, but as soon as I noticed that ice cream shop was closed, and so we went to a nearby gas station, and that's where the kids were getting their ice cream. And they got their ice cream, and I got a lottery ticket. After there, we went to the park. As soon as we got in the park, Dulce started opening her ice cream manual too. And they were so excited that they wanted to get down from the park. I told them to wait, but they were excited. I'm like, okay, you guys could go. And my sister Camila, at that time she was doing bad at school, and I had to help her with her homework so she could get better. And I told her to stay in the car until she finishes homework. And I stayed with her inside the car, and I let my two kids, Manuel and Dulce Maria, go play in the playground. But I could see the playground where was I parked at. But the only thing I couldn't see was the swings. And my mom, I thought they needed my help to get in the swings in order for me to push them. So they were in the slides. And I was scratching the lottery ticket. I put my head down. And last thing I saw was Dulce Manuel going down from the slide. And when I was in the lottery ticket, then I had received a message. And just a few minutes, I really don't remember how many minutes were they. When I looked my head up, I didn't saw them no more. I didn't saw Dulce or Manuel. That's when I had told Camila if she could go check. If she did, she went. But she only came with Manuel. And I told her, where's Dulce? And she told me she couldn't find her. So I got down and went check on myself. And there was no one at the park except some girls in the basketball court. And I was looking for her, screaming her name, and it was weird to me at first. I'm like, why is she coming out? She never does this. And at first, the first thing that came to my mom, like, she's probably playing hide and seek. She just wanted to play. So I started looking for her everywhere. And I couldn't find her in the playground, so I went behind some sheds that they were there. As soon as I went back there, I didn't see nothing. And I seen a trash can. I'm like, probably she's inside the trash can hiding. As soon as I was already back in the buildings, I was already mad. I'm like, she's already playing too hard. That I didn't want to think the worst at that time. I just wanted to think that she was around and that she was playing. Those minutes passed by. I went around the park two times, and I couldn't find her. And that's when I had called the police, and I was on the phone with them until they got there. When they got there, they closed the park. A lot of ambulance, firefighters came, police. Everyone started going inside the woods. They started searching like over 2 weeks in the park.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Guys, joining us is Dulce Maria's mother describing what happened when her little five-year-old girl is kidnapped, snatched from a park. Many detectives called it an old-school kidnapping. Listen to our friend Dr. Phil.
I just walked towards the park and I found my son crying, just standing there. I thought that she was playing hide and seek. I didn't want to believe that somebody took her.
He just pointed behind some buildings. I looked behind these buildings and I couldn't find her. I came down the path looking for her, yelling her name, and she wasn't answering.
The ice cream video is of Dulce Maria going into a little store the day she disappears. The day she disappears. Brenda Trinidad joining us, a very close family friend and advocate. Brenda, thank you for being with us and helping Noema through this. That's how quickly everything happened. The ice cream hadn't even melted yet. They go get the ice cream at the little store. They go to the playground. Mom is in the car helping with homework. She sees Manny crying and goes out there. She thinks he dropped his ice cream. That the ice cream hadn't even melted yet, Brenda. That's how quickly everything occurred.
Yes, I agree with you, Nancy, on that. Strangely, it seems like maybe the abductor was already lurking in the parks because you can't be a rookie and just take a child from a park that you necessarily don't know the ends or the outs of the park. That is a real complicated part to come in and a real complicated part to get out. And your chances of getting caught with a child in the car are very extremely high for someone who doesn't know how to case the area.
You know what's interesting, Brenda Trinidad? I write about that in my book, Don't Be a Victim. When you're taking your children to playgrounds or parks, exactly what Noema did is what you should do. I don't mean sitting in the car part. I mean taking a child to a park where there is very limited in and out. In other words, go to a playground or a park that has a fence around it, and then you position yourself either with your child or at that opening where someone would have to go in and out, not an open playground where there's a 360-degree entry and exit access. Now, what do you mean, Brenda, when you say this is a very difficult park for an abductor, a kidnapper to get in and out?
Well, Nancy, you have many ways to get inside the park. And then two of the entrance ways are located besides two schools. So you have two schools that are right in front of where the park where she went missing. So you have Cherry Elementary School, is it? West. Yeah. West Avenue School, I'm sorry. West Avenue School. And then you have Bristian High School, which both are on each different ends of a road. So you have Burr Avenue, you have West Avenue School. And then on Scholastic Drive, you have the Bristian High School. Now, if you leave from there, you're possibly going to be caught on camera. And one of the other exits, you go in front of a zoo as well, and courthouses and everything like that. So it's kind of strange to know that they were able to leave with a child in broad daylight and not be caught in any the cameras nearby.
What happened to Dulce, just 5 years old? Joining me, Irv Brandt, former U.S. Marshals Service and author of a series of books on Amazon about Jack Solo, one being Flying Solo, Top of the World. Irv, thank you so much for being with us. Police immediately flood the area. They're searching high and low. This has been referred to as a, quote, old school kidnapping. What does that mean?
Well, Nancy, what they mean by old school is just snatching a kid up from a park, from out in front of a school or from a parking lot. What immediately comes to your mind is a van coming by with a sliding door and someone snatches up a kid and drives away. So I believe that's what the police are talking about when they talk about old school. It was a snatch and grab.
Well, you heard Dulce's mother, Nuwema, describing, and her friend Brenda Trinidad, who's helping, describing that this was a predator's dream. Okay, because they're describing the fact that the predator had to already be in there based on the ins and outs, the entrances and exits of the playground. It makes perfect sense, Irv Brandt, because you've got multiple schools around there. This is a kid's playground. It's not like it's an out-of-the-way place. This was exactly where a predator would go to snatch a little girl.
I agree, Nancy, and I listened to Mother and how she described it, and I think the same thing. You could be in that park. That park is huge. It has schools. It has a zoo. It has a playground. And you could be in there without drawing notice. And you could be, as you said, lurking around and looking for an opportunity to do just what had happened, is to snatch a kid up and drive off. And before anybody realizes what has happened, that person would be gone. The police wouldn't have a chance to, and that park is massive, and they wouldn't have a chance to lock down the area. And so once you're out of the park, you could be anywhere in the city or the state before the police really had a chance to start their investigation and start a search.
Guys, let's listen to more of the 911 call.
Okay, so you're at the basketball courts behind the high school?
Yes.
Okay. And what was she seen last wearing?
She was wearing, give me a second. Did you play with her on the bench in the recess? I don't remember what clothes she was wearing, but she was wearing, I just remember her pants. She was wearing like a flowery pants and some heels, some white heels.
Back to Mom Nuwema Olivez joining us. Nuwema, thank you again for telling your story. And I know it's painful to relive what happened. When you got to little brother, what did Manny say?
Manuel, at that time, he was nonverbal. He had speech delay at 3 years old. And I asked him, and all he could say was just point behind the buildings and say it. That's all he could say, just point behind the buildings, because he wasn't talking.
And I've seen the video of you showing exactly where you went behind the buildings. Tell me what you did. After Manuel pointed behind the buildings, what did you do?
I was going behind the buildings searching for Dulce, because Manuel said that she had went over there, and I was looking everywhere behind the buildings and inside the trash cans. And I couldn't find her. I was screaming her name. And that's when I noticed that I couldn't find her.
Okay. All right, ma'am, stay in line. I'm going to turn you over to the police, okay? And you said she was 5, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Hello, ma'am?
Hello.
Hi, did you see which direction your child went?
No, we were in the car. She came down with my son. They were running to the park. And then me and my sister, we came down. But when we got here at the park, she wasn't here. They said that my son was just crying with his ice cream. Because somebody threw his ice cream in the floor and my daughter just ran away.
Over 30 police officers searched the surrounding areas, but Dulce has seemingly disappeared into thin air. New Jersey police release a sketch of a possible witness who may be able to crack open Dulce's case.
Where is 5-year-old Dulce? Joining us, her mom, asking for your help. I want to give you the toll-free tip line again. 800-225-5324. Repeat, 800-225-5324. There is a $52,000 reward in the search for Dulce. Straight out to Kathleen Murphy, joining us from TriangleDivorceLawyers.com, who has handled and investigated so many children that go missing, typically in custodial situations. Kathleen Murphy, that is not the case here. Dad, at the time, was out of the country. He did not have anything to do with this. Weigh in on your thoughts about the disappearance.
I'm concerned that it is a stranger abduction. It seems also that the child who is remaining would have said something, that they saw somebody that they knew or was able to communicate that they saw somebody new.
But what do we learn witnesses say at the scene? Listen.
When we came in and looked for her, we were looking everywhere for her.
She said that her son was at the basketball court with her daughter, that there was two black males that took her son's ice cream and threw it on the ground and left with her daughter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we have the officers.
She's at the basketball court on Mayor Aiken.
Are you on Mayor Aiken?
I already have an officer here.
Okay. All right, we'll speak with the police, ma'am, okay?
Okay.
Out to Claudia Vargas, joining us, investigative reporter, NBC 10 Philly, who has also created the documentary Somebody Knows Something, The Disappearance of Dulce. Claudia, again, thank you for being with us. So, at the time, witnesses say two males take Manuel's ice cream, throw it down, and snatch Dulce. What, if anything, have you learned about those witness statements?
Yeah, so we asked police about that. And if you'll hear the beginning of the 911 call, Noema actually describes that she was told it was a Hispanic male and a black male. So the 911 operator repeated it a little differently. But the initial witness description was a Hispanic male and a black male. What we know is that police did eventually identify who they believed the black male was. And they determined he was not involved in any kidnapping or anything. They have not yet identified a Hispanic male that matches that description. And that's the composite sketch that was released to the public. And you guys had that up a little while ago. So that person still has not been identified to this day. But that's essentially what the witnesses described. And based on those witness descriptions, they were able to come up with that sketch. And to this day, police say they're still interested in speaking to that man.
Guys, a $52,000 reward is on the line. $52,000 in information related to the disappearance of Dulce. You know, Irv Brandt, former U.S. Marshals Service and now author, you have looked for people all around the world, successfully, I might add. So you've seen the sketch. You've heard what happened, according to witnesses, and this is not just mommy saying this. These are witnesses there on the scene. What do you make of it?
Well, Nancy, you use every resource that you have available. And within the Department of Justice, I know the FBI is involved in the case. And the FBI has a presence at U.S. embassies all around the world, and especially south of the border, particularly Mexico. They have a very large presence. So any leads that they get, you know, with someone calling in with a possible ID, they would be able to track down. Even if it was in another country, they would be able to track these leads down. And I've worked multiple investigations doing just that, using all the resources that we have at hand, which is substantial, especially when you factor in Interpol and able to communicate with law enforcement agencies all around the world.
But let's get real. Irv Brandt, do you really think someone took Dulce from a playground, a local playground, and took her out of the country? Because I do not. I don't think that's what happened.
I don't think it's likely, Nancy, but you can't overlook anything. When you're doing this type of investigation, you follow the investigations where the leads take you. Even if it's a long shot, you're going to investigate every possible. You don't want to overlook something or say, well, I'm not going to spend the time not looking into this because it's highly unlikely. Some It's highly unlikely. It's not impossible. So every lead has to be followed.
Dulce's family fights to keep her name and her story alive, hoping more witnesses will come forward. The 5-year-old's mom believes Dulce is still out there and can be brought home.
Is that true? Noema Alves joining us. This is Dulce Maria's mother. Do you believe in your heart and soul and mind Dulce is still alive?
Yes. I still feel that she's still out there.
Why do you say that?
Because there's sometimes that my heart feels so heavy that I feel that she thinks about us and that she misses us. And it hurts inside of me because I know that she misses us a lot.
Kathleen Murphy joining us, veteran trial lawyer. Kathleen Murphy, there's so many possibilities about what may have happened to Dulce. And it is possible that she is alive. It is possible, Kathleen.
I pray it is, Nancy, because the problem that we have here is a mother's missing her baby. That's insurmountable. And we have an Amber Alert that's been issued in this case. We have a reward. We have some things that are being done correctly. We have stories coming out. Let's find this little girl.
Guys, I want to go to Irv Brandt joining us out of Vegas, Senior Inspector, U.S. Marshal Service, International Branch, and author of Solo Shot, Curse of the Blue Stone, all of his series on Amazon. Irv, again, thank you for being with us. What do we need to do now to find out what happened to Dulce and where, if she is still alive, can we find her? What do we do, Irv?
Well, Nancy, you're doing just what needs to be done. You're bringing it to the public's attention. And you're highlighting this, and the more the people see it, the more the people will call in with possible leads and give these investigators something to go on. You know, probably better than anyone, when you're investigating cases of this age, that the number one thing you need is new leads. You can only go over old leads so many times, and you can only pound that turf so many times. You need something else. And the only way that's going to happen is by bringing up the visibility of this case and having people look at the photos, look at the video, think about what they were doing at the time and what they may have seen, and picking up the phone and calling in with new information and giving these investigators a chance to do their jobs.
To Claudia Vargas joining us, investigative reporter, NBC 10 Philly, and responsible for the documentary Somebody Knows Something, The Disappearance of Dulce, streaming on Peacock. It's an incredible documentary, Claudia. Thank you for being with us. Claudia, are they saying she was running from two males or just running with two males, which doesn't make any sense?
Yeah, it's unclear. The description was that she was seen running behind the sheds at the same time that there were these two males. And so the theory from the witnesses was perhaps she went with those males. And so that was the initial tip that came in, and that's where that sketch came from. Now, I will say, and we go through this in our documentary, the Somebody Knows Something, The Disappearance of Dulce, which is streaming on Peacock, the Amber Alert was not issued until 29 hours after Dulce went missing. And the reason being because some of those witnesses were children. And so police say they had to take their time interviewing them and getting, you know, what they would consider an accurate description of what they saw and do it a little bit more carefully, because there was, and I think Noema can talk a little bit about this, but she was upset that they hadn't issued an Amber Alert. Even the next day, she was begging them, please put out an Amber Alert. And it was 29 hours later that they finally issued that Amber Alert. And so, of course, you know, as the other experts have spoken about, by that time, if she was kidnapped, she would have been way gone from there. So that was one of the issues that came up in this case and that we go through and speak to police about why it took so long to issue that Amber Alert.
That is total BS, Claudia Vargas. 29 hours? I mean, the whole point of an Amber Alert is for it to be quick, immediate, so people can spot the child or the kidnappers or the vehicle in which they are riding as they're getting away. To Noema Alves joining us, this is Dulce's mother. Noema, explain to me what took so long and what did you do to try to get police to issue that Amber Alert?
they had thought that probably she was with a family member, or I don't know. That's why they had so long, especially because the witness that gave the sketch was a minor, and they were saying that they wanted to get more information in order to put an Amber Alert. But as the day, the hours were passing by, a lot of people were coming back. Like, you should put pressure on them. That Amber Alert needs to go if they can't find her. It's a little girl, they told me. And we were telling them until 29th hour passed, and we saw, I got a message from my phone about the Amber Alert.
You know, to you, Kathleen Murphy, high-profile lawyer joining us, does it never end? Do you remember so many cases that we have covered where, for some reason, police refuse to issue the Amber Alert in a timely manner? And it's cases just like these that time is of the essence. Every minute counts.
It's a critical mistake, Nancy. You know it. I know it. This individual could have been located in this town with an Amber Alert that had been issued within 10, 30, 50 minutes. And I think it's a critical mistake that was made by this police department.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. You know, I want to understand something, Irv Brandt. Why the delay in issuing the Amber Alert?
I understand the frustration, Nancy. The procedures that are in place that have to be followed, the types of information that has to be in for certain alerts to be published, to outsiders looking in, it can be extremely frustrating. I've run into this at Interpol, where you're issuing an Interpol alert, and there's a procedure. I'd want to issue a green notice or a red notice or a yellow notice just immediately, but these things have to be reviewed by people higher up, and they have to meet certain criteria.
Oh, dear Lord in heaven, just hearing you saying all that is driving me over the edge. Do I have to say the name Cherish Periwinkle? Do we all remember little Cherish? She was swiped at a giant Walmart superstore in Florida. Long story short, by the time police interviewed the mom, Rain, convinced that somehow this was part of a custody dispute, which it was not, they didn't issue the Amber Alert in time. She could have totally been saved. And the whole time, the perp's vehicle, the van in which he raped and sodomized and murdered little Cherish, was sitting right outside in the parking lot. In fact, that vehicle was reported immediately after the Amber Alert was finally issued. Cherish Periwinkle's life could have been saved. And I'm hearing you go on and on and on. No offense, Irv Brandt, but really? You have to interview all the children before you issue an Amber Alert? My rear end, Irv. Speak some truth, man.
Yes, Nancy. I understand your outrage. And I'm telling you right now, I've felt it as an investigator. And sometimes, you know, an investigation, they start looking in the wrong direction. Just like you said, maybe you're looking for a family member when it wasn't a family member. And it can be a mistake, and it can be a critical mistake, because time is of the essence in cases like this. And action needs to be immediate. And when it's not, the case goes cold.
5-year-old Dulce Maria Alvarez mysteriously vanishes from a playground in Bridgeton, New Jersey, while mommy is only yards away. Dulce's family pleads with the public to help.
Still pleading, the mom is joining us today with family friend begging for your help. There is a $52,000 reward in the search for 5-year-old Dulce. I want to go through one more time. the fact that an Amber Alert was not issued immediately. Major fail. But what can we do now? Claudia Vargas joining us, investigative reporter, NBC 10 Philly, and creator of Somebody Knows Something, The Disappearance of Dulce. It's an incredible documentary that is streaming on Peacock right now. Where does it stand right now, Claudia? What is being done? I've seen an age progression photo of Dulce on NCMA, National Center of Missing and Exploited Children, but tell me what is being done and what can we do to help bring Dulce home?
Yeah, I was just going to mention the age progression. So Dulce is now 10 years old. And with the age progression composite, the idea is that people might recognize her. You know, she's a little older now, looking a little different. And so police say they're still investigating this. After that new age progression sketch was released, they received about a dozen tips. Unfortunately, none of them really panned out. Obviously, we still don't have Dulce home, but they are still looking into any tips that come in, and they say they're actively investigating it. But it's really going to take somebody, and as our documentary says, somebody knows something. So whoever knows something, they just need that one clue, that one tip that's going to break the case and bring Dulce home.
You know, a lot of people have claimed rewards don't work. I disagree. I think they do work if the right person hears about the reward, a $52,000 reward in the search for Dulce. You know, to you, Irv Brandt, joining us, former U.S. Marshals Service and DOJ Department of Justice, the FBI is in the case. What does that mean?
Nancy, that means the case has expanded, that they consider it a kidnapping, not just a disappearance. I know local law enforcement, of course, searched the area extensively, going through the woods, putting divers in the river, bringing in a helicopter to search if the child is lost. But when the child is believed to be abducted, the FBI has a missing persons unit, and they will be brought in for the case, and it expands the amount of resources that investigators have.
Dulce's family has not given up hope she will be brought home alive. Noema Alves, this is Dulce's mother. How has this affected you and your family? I don't know how you put one foot in front of the other. You are so much stronger than I could be. Tell me what is going through your mind every night when you fall asleep.
Well, since that day, my family hasn't been the same. We don't celebrate parties or our birthdays or festivals. We just, it's not the same without her. Because I remember last Christmas, we were with her. She was happy. We were a family. We were all together, and then the first Christmas came in. It was like, I don't know, it was sad because we just felt incomplete. And every day is like, I sometimes get scared. I get anxiety sometimes, taking out my kids out, because sometimes I'm scared that I'm going to lose one of them again, or I don't know. It gives me anxiety.
You know, Dr. Chloe Carmichael, if even one twin is away at night or at supper time, there's just this big empty hole. You know, there's the empty chair at the table. There's this huge presence that's missing. I just can't imagine what Dulce's mother is living through. Plus, having people attacking her, claiming it's her fault because she was in the car helping with homework. Yes, yes, I wish she had not been in the car. Was that wrong? Yes, it was wrong, for Pete's sake. But that does not mean this is her fault. The person that took Dulce, it's their fault. How do moms and dads move forward, or do they ever move forward? I don't know that I could ever move forward.
As was just stated, there's naturally anxiety about something like this ever happening again. And of course, the point of my book, Nervous Energy, Harness the Power of Your Anxiety, is that the healthy function of anxiety is to stimulate preparation behaviors. So parents who are anxious about a child abduction, for example, would definitely want to take this as a cautionary tale when it comes to, you know, keeping eyes on your children, for example, at a playground, and other ways that you can think about channeling that anxiety into protective behaviors.
I'm just thinking, what can be done for Noema, who is missing her child, Dulce, every day? Take a look at Dulce. If you know or think you know anything about her disappearance, please dial toll-free 800-225-5324 again. Over $50,000 in reward. We wait for justice to unfold. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.